Good morning. I hope you all had a restful night during that thunderstorm last night. I definitely did, just with the thunder. I always sleep well in rain. It just kind of instantly puts me to sleep. I wanted to stay up for it, and I was laying in bed, and I started hearing the thunder come in, and I was out. So hopefully you're awake now, though, ready to celebrate this great sacred liturgy. The reading for today in our gospel gives us a very beautiful kind of encouragement. These words, I think, are words that you will find plastered on some board hanging in your wall. These words, I think, speak tenderly to our hearts. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. It's beautiful. It's poetic. But I think many of us say, that's not true. Lord, I have knocked endlessly. I have prayed on my knees for hours. Heal this individual. Don't let this person die. Help me find a job. Help me take care of finances. All of us, I'm sure, have prayed and prayed. We've knocked and knocked. And the door never opened. So I think if we're honest with ourselves, sure, we think it's beautiful. Sure, we think it's poetic. It may resonate with our hearts. But there's a deeper part of us that says, yeah, whatever. I will still wait. I'm still waiting for that door to open. So I think then the question becomes, okay, if we take our faith seriously, if we take the Holy Scripture seriously, and Jesus speaks these words, then either we're reading it in a wrong way, our perception of it is incorrect, or Jesus is lying. And if that's the case, he's no friend at all. I think many of us, and I think it's the former, right? That somehow we're reading these words incorrectly. And I think it's because it's the way we approach our relationship with God. Oftentimes, I think we see God and our relationship with him much more as a contract rather than a covenant. We come to him and we say, I'm doing X, Y, and Z. I'm playing my part of the equation. I'm getting on my knees. I'm praying the rosary. I'm offering up sacrifice. I'm doing charitable works. Lord, I'm doing my side of the equation, my side of the contract. Where are you? Why aren't you responding in kind? See, we see our relationship with Christ as a contract and not a covenant. I think oftentimes, too, we come to prayer and we say, Lord, I want this. I want this thing. I want good health. I want the nation to get back in order. I want stability in my life. I want peace. And we seek and we grasp after the things that come from God, but not God. We kind of treat him as a gumball machine. Lord, I'm putting in my quarter and I want that gumball. Right? We turn the knob and nothing comes out. We're like, what's going on? We want the things that come from God, but not so much God. I think it's beautiful that the first words that Jesus says to us when the disciples ask him, teach us how to pray. And remember, the whole scenario begins with Jesus in prayer. Jesus is in prayer to the Father. And then he comes out of this prayer, and the disciples must have seen him in prayer and saw, wow, there's something different there. There's something deep and almost you can sense that his heart is in a different place. He's experiencing something radically different when he goes to pray. And so they ask him, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And the first words that come out of his mouth are, when you pray, say, Abba, Daddy. That would have struck the ears of those Jews pretty radically. Sure, they called God Almighty, the Creator, Lord. Maybe they even call him, you see it in the Old Testament, as Father, but never Abba. It's Father as in the one who from all things come. but not daddy. You never see in the Old Testament God of the universe, the God who created me, being called Abba. And so the intimacy to which Jesus invites them would have already been striking, but Jesus is saying more than just the beautiful intimacy to which we should address our God. What he's doing is drawing us in to his sonship. Now, I'm going to get a little kind of deep here when it comes to prayer, but once you get this, the way you pray will be radically different. In our baptisms, we are drafted into Christ, which means I begin to participate in the very life of Jesus. That's St. Paul in his second reading. He says, "Do you not realize you were baptized into the death of Christ, and you have risen with him?" Seems kind of a bizarre language. What's Paul getting at? Do you not realize your life has been drawn into the second person of the Trinity? You now live Jesus. Jesus lives you. The intimacy is covenantal, not contractional. You're drawn into a life-sharing relationship. Okay. When we go to pray, we often think, there's the house of heaven. There's the house of the Holy Trinity. I'm down here. They're up there. And I got to go knock on their door. I'm going to knock. Let me in. Listen to me, God. You're a million light years away. And we see ourselves from without, calling to within the life of the Trinity. But in Jesus' words, call him Abba. He then invites you to participate in his sonship. I'm the Lord's precious, beloved son or daughter. Which means Christian prayer isn't me standing out here calling to him who's over there, but rather in a mind-blowing way, and I hope you get this, Christian prayer happens within the life of the Trinity. I get to breathe, as it were, with the divine breath. My calling out is actually already a participation in the life of God. I don't pray out here, God's in there. This is why we begin every prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What are we saying? In the name of. I'm claiming that I am participating in the life of the Trinity. Through my baptism, I am in the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And from within the Trinity, I pray. Not from without. Just so you know, I'm not making this up. Let me share a quote with you from the Catechism. In the Holy Spirit, Christian prayer is a communion of love with the Father, not only through Christ, but also in him. I know it's packed. There's a lot of meaning there in one short sentence. Saying Christian prayer is addressed to the Father, but not just through Jesus. Like our relationship with the Father is established because Jesus is out here creating that relationship. Oftentimes that's how we think of it. But the Catechism says it's not just through Jesus, it's in him. What the words are getting at is you live Jesus. You pray in the life of Jesus. Let's revisit then those words that we hear from Jesus. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Jesus isn't lying. The very call, an act of my heart as a Christian to ask, is already receiving. The very act of the Christian when he kneels down in prayer to call out and to beg and to seek is already a finding. Because I'm not in a contract. I'm not this side of God doing what I need to do in order to get something from Him. I'm in a covenant. And I am already participating in the life of God as I kneel down and pray. It's mind-blowing. It's awesome. I hope it calls you to thirst for a deeper prayer life, to taste more freshly the life that is already within you. And now I've asked this before, but how many of you have been baptized? Raise your hand. Don't just raise your hand like, yeah, I've been baptized. You've been baptized. You got life, divine life in you. If I asked you how many of you are Michigan fans, you'd be like, oh yeah, yeah, I'm a Michigan fan. How many of you are State fans? Heck yeah, I'm a State fan. How many of you have been baptized? Yeah, you've been baptized. No. Your baptism means you have the Trinity within you. That's what I'm getting at. That your seeking already is a participation in Him. It's a response to the life already within you. Here's the last thing. This is the Mass. I hear a lot of people, they say, I don't need to go and pray to God. I'll just pray out, you know, in the blind while I'm shooting deers. That's my participation in, you know, my relationship with God. All good. That's great. Pray while you're shooting deer. But in the Mass, what takes place in persona Christi, the priest is drafted in a different way to Jesus Christ, the head. And as I pray, I'm praying, and you'll hear this, all the prayers are addressed to God the Father. And all of the baptized, you don't sit there as spectators. You're not just sitting there watching the priest up at the altar pray. But you are called in to participate in Jesus's sacrificial prayer to the Father. What happens at every Mass is Jesus's death on the cross. Not repeated over and over again, but rather it's like a time warp. That what took place 2,000 years ago is present to us. And Jesus again offers himself to the Father in a complete gift, a complete sacrifice to the point of death. And the faithful, you, are meant to participate in that very self-offering. When does this happen kind of at the climax of the Mass? When I elevate the body and the blood, and I sing with him, in him, through him, and I offer Jesus Christ to the Father, that is Jesus' offering on the cross. And we're not meant to just sit in the pew and be like, oh, look at the priest elevating the host. Rather, that's the point where each of us are to die to self and say the same self-gift, self-sacrifice to the Father. That's the richness of the Mass. It's the highest point of worship we can ever offer God. And it happens at every Mass. I invite you, as you come to that point of the liturgy today, to give yourself, to truly worship our Lord, not because you're in a contract with him, but because you're in a covenant with him.